All the tools we use to talk at work feel like social media, but without the moderation. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, in for Molly Wood. For those of us lucky enough to work remotely this past year, talking with colleagues has felt sort of like being in a chat room, with workplace messaging platforms full of GIFs and emojis. But bringing the culture of the internet to work can also be toxic. A recent study from Project Include found that some tech workers experienced more harassment on those platforms, particularly women, people of color, transgender, and non-binary workers. Caroline Sinder studies online harassment and is the founder of Convocation Design and Research. She worked on the report and says the abuse took lots of forms.
One person who was interviewed said that they were being messaged by a coworker, and this person was clearly inebriated and had even mentioned like going out for drinks and were extremely abusive to the interviewee. You know, in other cases, people have said seeing racist jokes that were shared or sexist jokes, and they're seeing them, you know, shared inside of these tools.
So it really kind of comes down to content moderation or behavior moderation, and it kind of seems like there's an onus either on the platforms or on workplaces to do that moderation. And, you know, this kind of switch to remote world has left it kind of up in the air. Like, where is that onus?
I mean, I totally agree. There is no real content moderation or moderation UI inside of these platforms. They should at least have some kind of mechanism, even for people in the workplace to report. So maybe Slack isn't handling the reports, but a way that an admin could. And those tools don't necessarily exist. And they don't exist on Zoom either. As a user, you can't necessarily mute or block someone from the Zoom call, right? You have to wait for an admin to do that.
You've been advocating for a block button on Slack since before the pandemic. Blocking, it's one thing when it's someone you don't know on Twitter, but it seems like kind of another thing if it's someone from accounting you need information from. How different is this, and how could this work?
Even if a person reports harassment in their workplace, you still have to wait for things to be done about the harassment. And so if there's no tool for you to stop the communication between yourself and the harasser, you're still exposed to that harassment while, you know, the wheels of justice, if you will, are turning. But oftentimes harassment is not handled well in a workplace. A person should have that right or that ability, if they're facing harm, to make themselves safe. And a block button is a really great way to do that.
When it comes to things that workplaces can do, we're kind of entering what I think most companies and most workers are looking at, a hybrid workplace. How can that sort of be improved? And how can we use tools in a way that keeps equity between workers who maybe need to stay remote for various reasons, or choose to stay remote, and those that are back in the office?
Sure. I mean, one of the things that a workplace I did when we had hybrid was ensure that every single meeting would work for a remote employee. And if it didn't, that meeting wasn't allowed to happen. So that meant that every meeting room had to have a screen that was either connected to the internet or could be connected to a laptop. We implemented best practices, for example, that every person would open their laptop and turn on their video. If they didn't have it turned on, every individual was at least looking at the video interface on their laptop. So what that meant is that two people couldn't share and couldn't get in a conversation between the two of them that could make the person on the other end feel left out. So that was a great way to make everyone in the room sort of feel like they were communicating through this device and then all communicating together. I think that's a great place where people could start, is really prioritizing the remote worker as opposed to trying to sort of slot the remote worker in to the physical environment.
Caroline Sinder studies online harassment. Slack told us companies are in the best position to protect employees from harassment, but that workers could contact Slack's help center if an employer doesn't take action. And now for some related links. New York Times journalist Nellie Bowles also noted an explosion of troll culture as work has moved online. She reports some companies are using the money they've saved in overhead with remote work to hire consultants to help mediate all of the conflicts that have ratcheted up on internal chat boards and other remote tools. Caroline Sinders also told me about the need to improve user design to address abusive behaviors in these tools. And that type of work is often done by trust and safety teams, something Molly Wood talked about with investor Sarah Kunst a couple weeks back on this show. Kunst said companies need diverse teams to try to imagine all the ways the tech could be used to inflict harm. And earlier this year, a group of 9 of the biggest tech companies, including Facebook, Google, Twitter, and more, announced a partnership to develop best practices for trust and safety in how they moderate content. The effort just so happens to come amid intensifying calls in Washington to regulate the tech platforms. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.